Morning. Today's daf Mechoros is Lamed Beis. We're in Lamed Aleph and Mid Beis. We're just a little after the Mishnah. We opened up the fifth parak of the Masechta yesterday in Mechoros, and we are discussing Psula HaMakdashim, any animal that is designated as a carbon and had Kedushas Aguf and then developed a blemish, permanent blemish, Mum Kavua. You have the right and the mitzvah to redeem it, and after you redeem it, so then you can eat it. But that's all you can do. You can't do anything else with the animal. The Mishnah taught us that when it comes to Psula HaMakdashim, so in terms of its post-shechita sale, so you could sell it on the open market. In fact, you should be selling on the open market. When you sell on the open market, so you're going to be generating more money, and that's more money for the Beis HaMikdash, because as the Gemara explained yesterday, when you redeem it, the redemption is going to be based on its market value, and if its market value is going to be able to be selling on the open market, so it's going to command a higher price, and therefore one would be, and it's preferred to sell on the open market. That's the basic idea of the Mishnah, with notable exceptions to being Bechor and Meiser. Bechor and Meiser, so you're not allowed to sell on the open market. Why not? So so Rashi explained yesterday in the Mishnah, is because when it comes to Bechor and Meiser, so they were once upon a time a carbon. And now that they have a blemish, so what makes it now problematic is that it is, it's inappropriate. It's a zilzo kachim. It's not fair. It's not proper for something which was a carbon to be sold in the open market. And even though just a moment ago I said that when it comes to other carbonos that have a hektar, that have a mum on it, you're allowed to sell in the open market. Yeah, but there, the beneficiary of the sale in the open market is going to be the Beis HaMikdash. So even though it's zilzo kachim, at the same time, however, that's going to be more revenue generated for the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to have to, there are counter considerations, there are going to be competing interests. On one hand, you have Zilzul Kachim, on the other hand, you have more revenue for the Beis HaMikdash. So more revenue for the Beis HaMikdash is going to be the overriding consideration. But when it comes to just a Bechor or Meiser, where the beneficiary of that sale is going to be the owner of that of the carbon, so then you only have one issue, which is Zilzul Hektish. And so therefore it has to be sold and it's a private sale. You're selling it out of your house, and the Mishnah also pointed out that the sale, you're in terms of weighing it, you're not going to be weighing it. Weighing it also is going to be a zilzal kachim. But what you're going to do is you're going to basically ballpark it. You're going to estimate how much meat it is and how much it's going to be sold for. And even though that's going to be less money for you, but that's how it's going to be sold. Bitsnius, it's going to be sold privately. Privately in terms of out of your house as opposed to the open market. And even snius in terms of you're not going to be using a weight. That's all that we discussed yesterday. And our discussion is going to start today. Okay, despite the fact that we're just a little bit behind, we're starting at the Gemara over here, but really the entire daf today starts here, meaning the entire sugya starts here. So from here until the Mishnah on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, so it's really just one question, one answer. The answer has got a cup. It's really all it is. You'll see at the end when we summarize everything, it'll be nice, short, and right to the point. What is the point? So the Gemara starts off the discussion as follows. Chutz min ha-bechor min ha-maiser shenayasam labalim. Bechor and Meiser, where the benefit is going to go to the owner of the animal. So again, the owner of a Bechor is going to be a Kohen. He wasn't the original owner, but of course he becomes a recipient. A Bechor is your firstborn animal, as we discussed now. This is the 32nd page of the Masechta, so this is an idea that we've expressed time and again. So a Bechor is your firstborn animal. So that animal is born in your lap, but then you are required and commanded to give it to a Kohen. It's part of the Matnas Kahuna. When we say Meiser, we're of course referring to Meiser Behema. So what's the story behind Meiser Behema? So it's the same story every time. I'm not going to change the story. So when it comes to Meiser Behema, so all the animals that are born in your Eder, in your flock over the course of the year, and even though it's Machlokas, but we're going to say this morning that it opens up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and it ends the next year, on the 29th day of Av. So and when you go from all the animals that are born from Elul to Elul, so are going to be put into a pen, and they're going to then be marched out of the pen one at a time. There's going to be a small opening, and you count. And upon counting the animals, so the 10th animal, now you're going to mark with a red mark, and that is going to be your Meiser Behema. What happens to that animal? What happens to the animal now is going to be treated like a Karban Shlamim, and it's going to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. What if it has a blemish? You're going to eat it. It's not part of Matnas Kahuna. You don't give it to a Kohen. But rather, you're going to eat it. Okay, this is Meiser Behema. Where does the Torah treat us to the mitzvah of Meiser Behema? So that it's the end of Sefer Vayikra. Parsha is Bechukosai. I say this week's Parsha, but this week's Parsha is Bahar. So next week's Parsha. In Eretz Yisrael, this week's Parsha. So it just kind of depends where you are. You take a look at the end of the Torah, and you'll see why I'm spending time on this and why we're going to be quoting from the Pesukim. So the Torah at the end, V'chol Meiser, V'chol Meiser Bakar V'tzon. Any tenth animal, either it's large animals or small animals, call Asher, I'm sorry, Parshas B'chukos, Perichav Zion, and Pasuk Lamed Beis. Okay, Daf Lamed Beis. Good. Numbers work out today. V'chol Meiser Bakar V'tzon, call Asher Yavor Tachas Hashavet. When it comes to all animals, anything that's going to pass under the staff, Ha'asiri, yeah, Kodesh L'Hashem. So the tenth one is going to be Kodesh L'Hashem. It's going to be carbon. Lo yivaker ben tov l'ra, v'lo yimirenu. Now, in terms of the tenth animal's concern, so it's random. There is no clear indicator which one's going to be the tenth animal, and you can't basically, you can't control it. So whichever comes out to be the tenth, that's going to be the tenth. Ben tov l'ra, whether it's good or bad. Lo yimirenu, you can't exchange it. V'im hamir yimirenu. And if you try to exchange it with another animal, vayu smuraso ye kodesh. So it and its exchange is going to be kodesh. And this, of course, opens up a larger discussion of tamura, the whole idea of tamura, of exchanging karbanos, an entire mesechta dedicated to that. But really, the mitzvah of tamura, the isra of tamura, is actually in Maisa Behema. Really makes perfect sense. Meaning the whole idea behind Maisa Behema is you can't control which one's going to be the 10th. It could be that your best animal just came out as number 10. Okay, now it's a karban. I didn't want it to be the best animal. Rather, it had been a different animal. So you can understand the mindset now of, oh, let me make an exchange. In other words, that was the 10th animal, but I want to exchange it for another animal. Torah says, don't do that. Torah says, lo yimirenu. You're not allowed to exchange it. And in fact, if you do, vayahu smurso yakodesh. The 10th animal is still going to retain its kedusha. And any animal that you try to exchange it with, it's also going to be kadosh. Fine. And then here we get to the main part of, and this is really all, our daf is going to flow around these next two words, which are the last two words of Pasuk Lamed Gimel. And the Torah says, Lo Yigael. Lo Yigael, what does that mean? Okay, if I were to translate it, I'd say, means, don't redeem it. Don't redeem it. Okay, it's not subject to redemption. And presumably what Lo Yigael means is that you're not allowed to redeem it even after it has a blemish. Presumably. Okay, with all that stated, we have now all the background that we need. Let's start with our Gemara. Gemara starts off, so when you're selling either the Bechor, when you're selling either the Bechor or the Meiser, so the Mishnah tells us that you're not allowed to do so in a public forum. It has to be a private sale. Now, Bishlam Bechor, Be'iluzu Delo Mizdaven, HaBeveisim Mizdaven. Now, why the Bechor? I get it. I totally get it. The Bechor has a blemish, and the Mishnah's instructions are, don't sell in the public market, but sell privately. Fine. Perfect. Makes perfect sense. Ela Maisa Bebesa Mizdabin. But then the Mishnah made the exact same point regarding your Maisa Behema. You're not allowed to sell your Maisa Behema. What discussion are we even having that you could be selling your Maisa Behema? The Hatanya. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Bechor, Bebechor, Nemar Lo Sipade Vinimkar. Vinimkar Chai. So when it comes to the Bechor, the Torah says that it's not to be redeemed. However, it can be sold even while it's alive. Meaning once it develops a blemish, you're allowed to sell it. Meiser, Namar, Lo Yigael. When it comes to Meiser, so what does the Torah say regarding Meiser? Lo Yigael. Ve'eino nimkar, lo chai v'lo shachot, lo tam v'lo ba'mum. And that means, and we're going to spend a lot of time in today's daf, establishing how we know this, but it is the fact that when it comes to Meiser, Behema, so it's not allowed to be sold, not when it's alive, not after it's shechted, not if it's perfect, not if it's imperfect. A Meiser Behema animal can be sold under what seemingly is no circumstance. So says the Braisa. And so the Gemara's question is going to be really simple. So if that's correct, if that's the fact, so then what is our Mishnah telling us? When you're selling your Meiser Behema animal, make sure to do so privately. Make sure to do so privately. Under no circumstances can you sell it, period. So what is our Mishnah saying? It's a good question. It's a strong question. Hamilsa ikshalele Rav Sheshes beorta. So Rav Sheshes went to bed that night, and he was just bothered by this question. What is pshat in the Mishnah? Vishanya bikad musay mi braisa. And then early the next morning, as he sleeps on this problem, he wakes up next morning, and he realizes that he has the answer from a braisa. Now we're not going to see the braisa just yet. We're going to see it in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, the answer basically is b'maiser behema shall yisom maskinan. Under certain circumstances, you are allowed to sell a maiser behema animal. Let's say it's maiser behema of yisomim. right? You had an estate. Father died and left his children young, and they were off and they were orphaned. So a number of dispensations are made for the estate in order to make sure that the orphans are taken care of. One of the special dispensations that's made is that if there's a Maisa Behema animal, so that animal is allowed to be sold. So a special dispensation for the estate of Yisomim. Umishum HaShavas Aveda Naguba. And it's a function of HaShavas Aveda. So the HaShavas Aveda, what does that have to do over here? Rashi, She'in Yecholim La'ochlo, Kulo. They're not going to be in a position where they're going to be able to eat it. V'yasriach, and it's going to spoil. Over Maiser Bamum, Kamai, we're talking about a Maiser Bamum. Meaning that it's a blemished Maiser Behema. So it's not going to be offered. Now what's left for them to do is to shecht and eat it. They're Yisomim, they're just not capable, they're not physically capable in doing so. And if we shecht it now, it's just going to, that's a lot going to waste. And we'd rather not do that for the Yisomim. So a special dispensation that they are in fact allowed to sell it. The question begs, and we're going to be discussing that also a little bit later on this morning. If the Torah says you're not allowed to sell it, so how can you carve out a dispensation for the Yisomim? Meaning certainly the Yisomim are tugging at our heartstrings and we understand that we want to help them. But if the Torah says you're not allowed to, so how can you create any kind of dispensation? We're going to approach that question just a little bit later on. Rabbi Edi Sarsa de Rav Sheshes, the Gemara just fits in a short anecdote where Rabbi Edi was the attendant of Rav Sheshes, Havisham Minei, and he heard this word from Rav Sheshes, and Azal Amr Be Mejoshav Elo Amr Mishmei. And so in the Beis Medrash, when they're learning the Mishnayos and Bechoros, and they're going over the fifth parak, and this question comes up because it's going to come up, meaning Maaser Behema has to be sold privately. And everyone is asking, what do you mean sold privately? You're not allowed to sell it privately. You're not allowed to sell it at all. Lo Yigael. So what's the Mishnah talking about? So the attendant of Sheshes was there in the Beis Medrash. He happened upon this question. And now he was so proud. He was hanging out with his rabbi. He knows the answer. And he said the answer over in the Beis Medrash. The only problem is he didn't say it over in the name of his rabbi. No. Shamar of Sheshes Ikbet. Now Rav Sheshes heard this. Rav Sheshes got very upset. Rav Sheshes didn't like the fact that he was being quoted but not being quoted by name. So Amar, and Rav Sheshes was really upset. You'll see. Manda Aketz Li'akse Akava. So the one who stung me, so he should be stung by a scorpion. So Rav Sheshes says to his attendant, you stung me, so good. So I hope a scorpion stings you back. Now Rav Sheshes my nafkalemina. So as far as the Gemara asks the obvious question, why is Rav Sheshes so bothered? Meaning, okay, good, so it's Torah and it's disseminated and it wasn't quoted in his name, and okay, so that's, you know, obviously it's not the best. In other words, it's better to say B'Shem Omro. We know the Gemara elsewhere says that Kol Omro B'Shem Omro, maybe it's a Geula. So you have a chance of bringing the Geula. Okay, fine. But Rav Sheshes took it as such a personal affront. Why was Rav Sheshes so bothered? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, my Dirtziv, Agur Ba'olach Olamim. The Pasuk in Tehillim says that I'm able to live in Ohalacha, in your tents, Olamim, forever. Now, it happens to be that that's going to happen to none of us, meaning none of us are going to live forever. It's just the facts of life. And V'chi Eshel Adam Lagur B'Shnei Olamim. Now, you understand Olam Haba, that's forever. But Ohalacha, meaning in this world as well, so a person's going to live in this world forever, that can't be. So, Ela Amar David, Ribbono Shel Olam, Yomru David Shmuel Mipi, Ba'olam Hazeh. So he says, you know how you get to longevity? You know how you get to eternal life even in this world? And that is that you say Divrei Torah, and they're quoted in your name. The Amar of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kol Tamei Chachamim She'omrim Davar Shmuah Mipiv Ba'olam Hazeh, Sifso Sav Dov Avos Bekever. You say something in the name of a Tamei Chachamim who has since passed, and so his lips are moving in the grave. It's obviously a very powerful visual, right? Rashi over here even makes it more powerful. Rashi writes, Naos, they're moving. You're like reanimating him. You're like bringing him back to life. Every time you quote it, you quote something in his name. So, Gemara quotes another pasuk speaking to this idea. So, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim describes the lips moving. And the Gemara says, and it's comparable to a bunch of grapes that were put together. So when it comes to commercial anavim, when it comes to some grapes that are put together and they've been sitting together for some time, Rashi over here describes 7 or 8 days. So the grapes are sitting there. So what happens is that it gets like really soft. And what happens is that you touch part of this compote. And it starts moving, it starts quivering. So Av Talmid Chachamim, Kevin Sha'adam Omer Davar Shmuel Mipiv Dovavos Sifasav Bekaver. And so the same thing with Talmid Chachamim. So once you say something in their name, so it's like they're quivering. It's like the lips are moving even in the grave. Okay. So Rav Sheshes wanted this benefit of having things quoted in his name, so that it'll have the eternal life, not only in Olam Haba, but even Olam Hazeh as well. Creates eternality in this world as well. Okay. So far, so good. So we have a question, we have an answer. Question, the Mishnah says that when the Meiser Behemah is sold, it's to be sold privately. The question is, not allowed to be sold at all. The Torah says, Lo Yigael. And the Braisa taught us that you're not allowed to sell it. Not when it's alive, not after it's shechted. Not when it's not blemished, not when it is blemished. You're not allowed to sell it, period. That's the Braisa. And so what's our Mishnah talking about? So that's the question. The answer is, our Mishnah is speaking to a specific scenario of Maisa Behema of Yesomim. Maisa Behema of Yesomim, because of their condition, the state that they're in that right now, in that they have a Maisa Behema animal, it's blemished, they're going to shechted, they're not going to be able to eat it, it's going to go to waste. And we're talking about the estate of orphans, so as a special dispensation, so you're allowed to sell it. Period. Question, answer. Okay, now in Rav Sheshes' comment, he said, and I knew this from a Braisa. And so now, the Gemara is going to treat us to the Braisa, my Braisa, Ditanya. The Braisa reads as follows. The Braisa is very short, but we'll read it carefully. Maisa Behema Sheyesom Emochrim Oso. The Maisa Behema of orphans, you're allowed to sell it. Maisa Behema Sheshachtu. Let's say you have a Maisa Behema that was shechted. So you're not allowed to sell the Maisa Behema. We just established that. Mavlio ba'oro b'chelvo uvegido v'karanov. However, here's what's going to happen. You're not allowed to sell the meat of the Maisa Behema. But what about the hide? That you could sell. What about the chelev? You could sell that as well. The gidim of the Maisa Behema? You could sell that. And the karanov and the horns of the Maisa Behema? You could sell that. Meaning the prohibition of lo yigal is only going on the meat. So you could sell all these other parts. How about this? Let's make the following deal. You ready? I'd like to buy the horns from you. And in addition to that, you think you can just throw in a little bit of meat as well? Not as a sale, as a gift. And let's just subsume it under the horns. Now this is what's called an halacha havla. Havla basically means is that we're going to sell the part that we're allowed to sell. And the part that we're not allowed to sell, we'll just kind of absorb in the sale. Sounds a little bit like harama. Sounds a little bit like we're just trying to sidestep the law. And to a certain degree, yeah, it's a little bit of harama. But it's harama that's mutter. Meaning the Gemara on a number of occasions gives us certain ways in which we can bend a little bit around the law within a legal fashion. And this is one of those examples. So over here, you could do havla by selling the parts of the Maisa Behema that you're allowed to sell. The hide, the fat, the sinews, or the carnayim. And you could be a mavliya, some of the meat in that sale. Okay. Now, this Braisa over here made two seemingly separate points. The first point of the Braisa is that you're allowed to sell the Maisa Behema of Yesomim. The second part of the Braisa is that you can do Havla. Now, seemingly, there are two separate points. Now, my Kamar, Amar Abai Hachi Kamar. So, what's Pshat in the Braisa? So, Abai takes a stab at it. And he says, this is Pshat in the Braisa. Maisa Behema Sheyesomim, Mochinosa Behavla. Now, what Abai does is he conflates the two parts of the Braisa. The Braisa says that you can sell the Maisa Behema of Yesomim, and how can you sell it? Through Havla. So a conflation of the two points of the Braisa. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second, it sounds like Mechlal de Galah Bavla alone. So the Gemara says, now the way Abai is learning it, you have to have these two factors in order to create a sale of Maisa Behema. It has to be done through Havla, and it can only be done for Yesomim. That means to say that under normal circumstances, Abai would not be open to the idea of Havla in the sale of Maisa Behema. Gemara says, you know what? On one hand, it's possible. On the other hand, I don't agree. Maishna mehaditnan. The Gemara says, why don't we consider the following Mishnah in Sukkah in the third parak? Halokech lulav mechavero b'shvius. Let's say you are buying the lulav from your friend in the Shemitah year. Now, the lulav is not going to be subject to the Shemitah prohibition. Now, what is the Shemitah prohibition? Shemitah prohibition is that you're not allowed to buy and sell Shemitah produce. Right? It's la'achla v'lo l'schora. The Torah says that you eat Shemitah produce, but you're not allowed to sell Shemitah produce. So so in terms of the lulav is not subject to the Shemitah prohibition. Now, why not? So I can give you two reasons why not. One, it's not a fruit. Okay? It's a branch. Two, and this is what Rashi seems to say over here. If you see the Rashi on the side, I'm not going to go through it inside. But number two, is that we're talking about the sukkahs immediately at the beginning of the Shemitah year. Now, the lulav has been growing on the tree now for most of last year, the sixth year, which obviously is not Shemitah. And so, therefore, the Kedusha Shvius is not going to be on the lulav as it's been growing on the tree for all of the sixth year. It just happens to be that you picked it off on the seventh year, but so what? In other words, that's not a seventh year lulav. Mashenkin, when it comes to Esrog, what's the halacha regarding Esrog? So Rashi says that when it comes to Esrog, it's basa l'kita. The year that the Esrog is connected to is going to be the year in which you pull it off the tree. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah discusses this in much greater detail. But anyway, those are the facts. So when you're pulling the Esrog off the tree on the Shemitah year, and again, we are now 15 days into the Shemitah year, a little bit less because, you know, we need it for Sukkos, but 13, 14 days into the Shemitah year, but when you're pulling the Esrog off the tree, it has Kedusha Shvias. Fine. So now the Esrog you're not allowed to sell, or I'm not allowed to buy it. So what do we do? So the Mishnah in Sukkah already deals with this issue, and the solution is very simple. So what's going to happen is the Esrog will be gifted. Now when we say gifted, what we mean is as follows. I want to buy a lulav from you. Great, I'm ready to sell you the lulav. Let's throw the Esrog in. Fine, we'll throw the Esrog in as well. And so the Esrog can now be put as a Havla'a package together with the lulav. So you're telling me that Havla'a is not okay. I'm showing you that Havla'a is okay. Now, I'm sorry, I went one step ahead. Apologies. Right now, the Mishnah says Matana. Fine, gift. Now, what if you don't want to give it as a gift? So Rav Huna says, now you could do Havla. Sorry, I went one step ahead first. So the Mishnah says Matana, and now if the seller does not want to give it off as a Matana, so then what you could do is you could do Havla. Charge a little bit extra for the lulav, and the esrog will come along for the ride. Good. So you see that Havla is in fact a acceptable practice. So over here, you're telling me, Abaye, that according to the Braisa, I can only do Havla on Meiser Behema meat only if it is Shal Yisomim. Under normal circumstances, you can't do it. The Mishnah in Sukkah and Rav Huna's explanation of the Mishnah says you can do Havla. Gemara makes a distinction. Hasam la mucham.
Can it be rented?
Hasam. No, you have to own it. Uh-huh. You have to own the lulav. You have to own the esrog. It has to be owned. You could discuss it with me afterwards. But
there's a sixth. I mean, how can you sell a lulav that costs $5, let's say, for $100?
You're working with today's prices. Well, again, just give me a moment. Hasam la mucham milsa hacham mucham milsa. So answer number one of the Gemara is we'll make the following distinction. That when it comes to the Meiser Behema, so we'll say that it's too obvious. Meaning, how much you paying for the horns? Not a lot. How much you pay for meat? Well, meat's expensive. You're spending a lot in the meat. So if you try to do a Havla, it doesn't really get absorbed into the cost. It's going to be so obvious that the meat is part of the horn sale. However, interesting, the Gemara says this, but the Gemara does say it. But when it comes to the esrog and lulav, the Gemara says it's not so obvious. The cost of the esrog, what's the cost of the esrog? Now, I know in today's market, right? I happen to know a little bit about this. So in today's market, I know the esrog is the most expensive item. But it sounds like from the Gemara, Rashi says it so clearly, sounds like from the Gemara that the esrog is not that much. And so therefore, you can easily absorb the esrog cost into the lulav. Lulav will be bumped up just a little bit. That is going to be the havla for the esrog. And that's fine. That's the Gemara's first approach. And so, by esrog, it's not noticeable when you do havla. Not that noticeable. As opposed to Meiser Behema, it's going to be more noticeable. Answer number two of the Gemara. I'm sorry, not answer number two. That's the answer. Amar Rava Imkein, Meiser Behema Trei Zimnei Lamali. So Rava says, look, I don't like your pshat altogether in the Braisa. If you go back to the Braisa, what Abai did is he conflated the two parts of the Braisa. Rava says, I don't think it's conflated. I think the Braisa is making two separate points. In fact, if you go back to the Braisa, take a look at the Braisa inside, you're going to see the Braisa starts off by saying, I'm reading the Braisa again. Now, I'll put a comma there, but of course a comma belongs there. Because what's the next word of the Braisa? Maisa behema sheshachtu mavlio ba'ora bechelva v'gida v'karnav. The Braisa starts with Maisa behema and then repeats words Maisa behema. If the Braisa was making one point, so the Braisa would only need to say Maaser Behema one time. By virtue of the fact that it says it twice, the Braisa is clearly making two separate points. So Rava says, I don't agree with your whole pshat in the Braisa. Ela Amar Rava, Hachi Kamar. So Rava says, this is pshat in the Braisa. Maaser Behema Sheyasom HaMochem Aso Kedarko. When it comes to the Maaser Behema of a Yasom, of an orphan, so there the sale is perfectly allowed. You don't need to do Havla. Again, because of the consideration of there's Yisomim involved, and we want to protect the Yisomim financially, so therefore you could sell the Maaser Behema animal after it gets blemished and after you shecht it, so then you sell the animal kidarko. Normally, you don't have to do any kind of halachic subterfuge. Masha'in Kain, if you are not a Yisom and you want to sell your Maaser Behema animal, so how do you do that? You do it with Havla. So the Kedarko or Maaser Behema Degadol Sheshachtam Avliyah Ba'aro V'Chalva Begidov V'Karanav. Okay, period. Okay, Adkan, that brings us now to Rava's understanding of the Braisa. Amar Rava Menami Nala Dichziv. And Rava says, and I know that I'm correct because of the following. V'Yahu Smerso Yekodesh Lo Yigael. So now we're headed to the Pesukim in which we started off this morning with. We're now in the Pesukim regarding Maaser Behema. The Torah says it is that if I try to make an exchange with that tenth animal, that it in exchange is going to be kadosh and lo yigael, and you're not allowed to sell it. Aim aside. Osa tmura mechayim. Now, what just happened in the pasuk is two ideas were presented back to back. One, tmura. Two, you're not allowed to sell it. Now, when I take these two ideas and I put them side by side together, when is the isra of tmura apply? Only while the animal's alive. Tmura is only while the animal's alive. That's the only time you can do tmura. And that's exactly the point. Emasai say tmura mechayim. Emasai eno nigal mechayim. So that means that the sale of the animal only can be while it's alive. Meaning, pshat in the pasuk is that the lo yigael iser is only limited to when the animal's alive. Halacha shechita nigal. So after it shechted, meikar hadin, according to the Torah, you're allowed to sell it. V'rabbanan degazur la'achar shechita atu lifnei shechita. And it's a chachamim who made a gzera that you're not allowed to sell it after you shechted, because if I start selling my Maaser Behema after shechted, I'm going to sell it even before shechted as well. Davar anisha mechayim gazur rabbanan la'achar shechita atu lifnei shechita. Davar she'enu anisha mechayim lo gazur rabbanan. And now, what is included in this gzera de rabbanan? The more significant parts of the animal. What are the more significant parts of the animal? The meat. The parts of the animal that are less significant, like, we'll just go over the list, the hide, the chalev, the gidim, the karanav. So they are not the more significant parts. So the chachamim did not extend their gzera to those items. So those items, poshkita of a Maaser Behema animal, are in fact allowed to be sold. Afilu midrabbanan, they're allowed to be sold. Uviyasme ukme rabbanan daraisa. And now we answer the question that I asked earlier this morning. And so why is it by Yisomim that when they have a Maaser Behema animal and it's a Bamom and it was shechted, so they're allowed to sell even the meat of the animal? Correct. They're allowed to sell it. Why? Because as we just learned together, Me'ikar Hadin, you're allowed to sell Maaser Behema after you shechted. The Isser Min HaTorah is only to be selling it while it's alive. After shechted, Me'ikar Hadin, you're allowed to sell it. It's a Gzera Durabana that you're not allowed to sell it. But for the Yisomim, because of the consideration of the Yisomim, and to benefit the Yisomim, so the Chachamim opened up a dispensation, an allowance for the Yisomim to go ahead and sell it, the Yisomim, really the apotropos, the custodians of the Yisomim, to go ahead and to sell the Maaser Behema animal after it was shechted. Now this is not just Rava's pshat, but other Amorim agree with it as well. How do I know that if I have Maaser Behema of Yisomim, I could just simply sell it? And again, it was blemished, it was shechted, and you're allowed to sell it, period. Shenemar rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'achalta basar. The Torah says that you are allowed to shecht and eat meat. Ezu davashe ein bo birchas mechayim. Now really the truth of the matter is that it's the rest of the pasuk that is significant over here, It's the rest of the pasuk over here that's significant in order to understand where the Gemara is going. The pasuk reads, this is in Parshas Re, Rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'achal tabasar ki birchas Hashem alkecha asher nasan lecha b'chol sha'arecha atameh v'atar yachlenu kitzvi v'chaya. Okay, the pasuk's talking about psulim of Hashem, and the Torah talks about bracha, right? Ki birchas Hashem alkecha. And now the Gemara is darshaning. Now we go back to the Gemara. Now, what has bracha? Now while it's alive, but after it shechts it. That's a reference to Maisa Behema. Maisa Behema has bracha after you shecht it. What does that mean? Rashi over here writes very clearly. When we say bracha, what do we mean? We mean parnasa. We mean revenue. Meaning, what can create revenue after it shechts it? That's the Maisa Behema animal. Maisa Behema animal, how could it create revenue after you shecht it? Because you're allowed to sell it. The Maisa Behema Balmum animal that you shecht it, so you have the right to sell it, and may ikar din according to the strict letter of the law, and that's the drasha in the Torah. Interesting, by the way, Rava and Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak arrive at the same conclusion, but they're coming from different psukim, right? Rava quoted the pasuk in Bechukosai, and Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak quoted the pasuk in Re'eh, but they arrive at the same point, which is that the ma'aser behema animal that was blemished and you shechted it, may ikar hadin according to the strict letter of the law, you're allowed to sell it after you shechted it. A gzera d'rabanan impedes us from doing so, but with that understanding, so for yisomim, so a dispensation. And it also explains, by the way, why havla would be okay as well. Because the Gemara doesn't make this point. This is me, and I may be wrong. But in other words, havla is a little bit of a subterfuge. Okay, but it's in other words, but as we just learned together, me'ikar adin, you're allowed to sell it. Okay, so we are banned from selling it. We're rabbinically banned from selling it. So they gave us a manner in which we could do some form of havla. So the sale can be accomplished. Okay. Ibailahu. One more point before we get to the end of today's daf. You'll see what I mean. Ibailahu. Ma lavli abatsamos. Can we do havla with the bones? Now, you'll notice that earlier this morning we talked about the selling of your Maisa Behema blemished animal after it was shechted, doing it through the process of havla. Now we're gonna work with Rava's Pshat. You're totally allowed to do it. It's not just for Yisomim. Anyone could do it. The Maisa Behema animal can be sold, but only through Havla. And if you look back at the Braisa, how are you going to do Havla? You're going to do it with selling it in conjunction with the hide, the fat, the gidim and the krenov, the sinews and the horns. Okay. Now, the reason why Havla works over there, first of all, because the Braisa says so, but the reason why Havla works over there is because these are items that have usage, they have utility. The horns, you know, you blow on it. The fat is great. Fat you could use for fuel. Hide obviously is good. Gidin, I'll tell you the truth, I got a little stuck on Gidin. You could sew with him? Okay, good. Tefillin? Okay, good. Good. Okay, excellent. Okay, excellent. So Gemara's question is as follows. Can I do Havla'a for my Maiser Behema and sell it in cooperation with the bones? And do the bones have enough utility? Now, again, if you're creative, you could for sure use bones for something. Gemara elsewhere talks about bones being used as instruments, right? You could take a bone, you could hollow it out, you could make a fluid out of it. So there is something you could do with the bones. But in other words, is it significant enough where you could do havla? So I need a part of the animal that's sellable, meaning the non-meat part of the animal, but it also has to be functional, useful. So mal lahavli obat samos, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi. So the Gemara brings down a machlokas, chadam ha-mavlil, v'chadam ha-mavlil. Machlokas amarayim. V'lapligi, but the Gemara says, but it's not a machlokas. Habadaka habagasa. Talking about small bones versus large bones. The small bones, they're useless. And so therefore you can't do havla with the small bones. Large bones, useful. Ibai sema idivi idi bagasa v'lapligi marki asri and marki asri. The Gemara says also, we could say like this. Both of the amarayim are describing large bones. And in some communities, they make excellent use out of large bones. In other communities, they feel like it's useless. They give it away. So basically, if you're talking about a large animal, or if you're living in a community where they make utility and they make use out of the large bones, so then you could do havla with the large bones. Adkan. That takes us not to the end of the daf, but to the end of the section. Take a pause. We'll breathe for just a moment. And let's get ready for the rest of the daf. The rest of the daf is going to be basically one sentence. Although, let's pause for just a moment and let's quickly summarize. As basically we got the idea of the Gemara very clear. Maiser behema animal. So it is non-redeemable, non-transferable. In other words, that tenth animal that comes out, that's your Maiser behema. Congratulations, mazel tov. That's it. And as far as what do you do with it? So if it's a tamim, so you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and you offer it as a karbon. If it's a balmum, or if you have no Beis HaMikdash, which, you know, just for the last 2,000 years, it's been a while. So if it's a balmum, so then you can just shecht in your home and you can eat it. But what is clear, however, is that once it's even as a balmum, you're not allowed to sell it. Why? Because the Torah says so. And so therefore, you're not allowed to sell it. What if after you shecht it, you're allowed to sell it? So as we learned now over the course of today's daf, min haTorah, after you shecht it, you're allowed to sell it. However, as Gzeira de Rabbanan, the Chachamim were concerned that if we start selling it after we shecht it, so it's going to come to selling it before we shecht it, so as Gzeira de Rabbanan, you're not allowed to do so. Two dispensations that we learned this morning regarding the sale of Maisa Behema meat that was shechted, that was a blemished animal that was shechted. One dispensation is that you could sell it behavla, that you could sell it as part of the sale of other parts of the animal that are sellable. You could sell it in conjunction with the horns and the sinews and the chalev and the hide. Fine. That's one dispensation. And a second dispensation that we learned together is that if it is Maisa Behema Shayusomim, and after it's shechted, you can absolutely sell it without havla, because we want to be able to financially protect the Yisomim. Good. That's what we learned this morning, and that is our daf so far in a nutshell. What we're going to be doing for the rest of this morning is the following. I've been saying it really clearly and super confidently that you're not allowed to sell Maisa Behema. That's not exactly what the Torah says, right? As I'm sure you noticed when I read the Pesukim. So the Torah says, Lo Yigael. Torah says you're not allowed to redeem it. There's a difference between redemption and selling, right? Redeeming means is that it was a bamum, was a blemish animal, and redeeming it means now I'm going to transfer the kedusha onto money, and so this animal now has no kedusha whatsoever. Mm-hmm. That's what the Torah says when it says lo yigael. We've been saying all morning that lo yigael means don't sell it. It's not the literal translation of the words lo yigael. So how do we get from the Torah saying lo yigael? And me, and when I say me, I really mean the Gemara, all morning saying that lo yigael means don't sell, lo yimacher. How do I know that? How do we get there? And that's going to be the rest of today's daf. Now the rest of today's daf is going to get a little bit complicated because it's drushas in the classic. We're going to be doing this morning Zera Shavas and Imeno Inyan, and we're going to go over the usual methodologies of drusha to arrive at this conclusion. But before we all get lost in the forest, right, if we could just take a step back, we're really only trying to accomplish one thing now from here until the end of the daf today, and that is, how do we get from the Torah saying Lo Yigael, to our understanding the Torah Shebaal Peh of Lo Yigael means Lo Yimacher, that you're not allowed to sell it. And so let's go. There are going to be three approaches over the course of the remainder of today's daf. And this is approach number one. I got so excited, I got swept up. Okay, Gufa, bebechor hu omer lo yipadeh, right? Or I think more accurately, lo tipadeh. Okay, lo sifta. Okay, good. Okay, I made it for the Ashkenazim, for the Sephardim. Okay, excellent. I got everyone covered. So by bechor, the Torah says that you're not allowed to redeem it. Vinimkar, and the Torah also says that you're not allowed to sell it. Both are included in the bechor. Bemaiser namar lo yigael. Bebechor hu omer lo sifteh v'nimkar. So the bechor, the Torah says that you're not allowed to redeem it, but you are allowed to sell it. Okay, good. That's the correct shot. So you're allowed to sell your bechor. When I say you, by the way, I mean the kohen, because kohen ultimately is the owner of the animal, and so therefore, when he gets his bechor and when he checks it, he can sell it. Tomorrow's daf, by the way, we're going to be talking about who can he invite over for dinner. Meaning when the Kohen's eating his Bechor. So can he invite me over? I'm not a Kohen. Can he invite me over for Bechor? That's coming up in tomorrow's daf. But in the meantime, however, he could sell it. So, b'maiser namar lo yigael v'eino nimkar. Now when by maiser behema it says the Torah says lo yigael. So here's the rule. We're going to start off by saying what the conclusion is. It's not to be sold. Lo chai v'lo shacha, not while it's alive, not after it's shechted. V'lo tam v'lo ba'mum. Not when it's not blemished, not when it's blemished. In other words, you're not allowed to sell it. Okay, we happen to know a little bit more, meaning we happen to know that not selling it after we shechted is a din derabbanan. Okay, good. That's wonderful. But in terms of the bottom line, you're not allowed to sell the Maiser Behema animal. Good. Now, minahani mili. Question on the table is very simple. How do we get from the lo yigael to the idea, to the halacha, that you're not allowed to sell it, period? Like, how do you get from A to B? That's the question. And the Gemara now advances three different approaches. Approach number one starts here. Approach number two is starting on the bottom of the Amud. And approach number three is on the Amud base. Number one, Amar Rab Chinana, Amar Rab Chen, Amar Rab Dimi, Amar Rab Yochanan. Namar lo yigael b'maisav, namar lo yigael b'charamim. Twice in the Torah it says Vayigal. It says it here, and it also says it by Cherem. What's Cherem? Cherem is another vehicle in which I can make Hekdesh. Right? There are numerous vehicles in which I can make Hekdesh. I can make Hekdesh of a carbon. I can make Hekdesh using a process called Erchin. I can also make Hekdesh using something called Charamim. Now, who's going to be the beneficiary of Charamim? Well, depends. There's Cherem LeKohanim and there's Cherem to the Beis HaMikdash. So, and if I don't clarify then what Stam Charamim, where does the Cherem go to? As you can imagine, it's a Machlokas. And when we get to tomorrow, we're going to be discussing it in more detail. But for our purposes right now, Cherem is just simply another way of making something Hekdesh. So, it says by Cherem Lo Yigael that you're not allowed to redeem it. Malahala Mechira Imo Avka Mechira Imo. Now, when it comes to Cherem, so I'm not allowed to redeem Cherem and I'm not allowed to sell Cherem. So too over here by Maisa Behema, same halacha. When the Torah says Lo Yigael, I'm going to take the halacha that I know by Cherem, I'm going to apply it over here. Not allowed to redeem, you're not allowed to sell. Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak LeRav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Mufni. This is what we call in halacha a gzera shava. And we're going to call it also a gzera shava mufne. Mufne meaning it's a strong gzera shava. That's not literally what the word means. Mufne means free and clear. Meaning that the words that are used for the gzera shava are extraneous, which strengthens the bond of the gzera shava. If the words that are used for the purpose of the gzera shava are necessary just for the simple pshat in the pasuk, this is what's called in halacha a gzera shava eino mufne. And it's a weaker gzera shava. When I say weak gzera shava, what does that mean? If we have a challenge to the gzera shava, we are able to ask the challenge because the bond, the link that connects the two, is not as strong. Once it's a gzera shava mufne, so that means to say that it's a strong gzera shava, and even though logic would refute it, I say when I say logic, I mean logic of the Torah. Logic would refute the gzera shava, but nevertheless, a gzera shava mufne is irrefutable. Period. I say period, by the way, it happens to be that there is two types of gzera shavas mufne. It's mufne mitzad echad and mufne mishnei tzadim. It depends on whether one of the psukim are extra or both sides of the gzera shava are extra and superfluous. Happens to be our Gemara today is not going to be covering that distinction. So good. So that means that we can keep it simple for today. And on another occasion, we'll make a finer point in gzera shava mufne. So the ilam mufne ikla mifrach. Because the Gemara says, because look, if this was not a gzera shava mufne, we can challenge the connection. Malach harem shekein chalam alakol. Cherem applies to everything. Now cherem applies to everything. Rashi over here offers a couple of pshatim in terms of what that means when it says cherem applies to everything. But I'll say over Rashi's second pshat. It's really simple. In other words, I can be machrim my entire flock, animals 1 through 10, animals 1 through 20. I can create all those animals cherem, make them all cherem. And the shekein chalam alakol, as opposed to ma'isa behema, which of my animals is going to be ma'isa behema? Only the 10th animal. And under certain circumstances, the 9th and 11th as well. But that's it. In other words, number 8 is not going to be kaddish. Number 6 is not going to be kaddish. Fine. So I'm trying to take a halacha over by cherem and move it over to ma'isa behema. Logically, it doesn't extend. But we don't, in other words, but over here, because it's a gzera shava mufne, I can ignore the logic. Now the Gemara is going to point out, how do I know it's mufne? Meaning what we have to now establish is that in one of the occasions where the Torah says lo yigael, it was unnecessary. And so therefore it was totally extraneous by the Torah saying it. And now that's totally extraneous, so therefore it creates a gzera shava mufne. So our next step in this process is to just establish of the times that says lo yigael, either by charamim or by ma'isa behema, it was totally superfluous. So, lo yomar v'lo yigal b'charamim v'yigmar mimaiser, because the Torah didn't have to say lo yigal b'charamim, we learned it from maiser. So the Gemara says, ma maiser kodesh v'eino nigal afcharamim kachim v'eino nigalim. And so just like maiser is kodesh and it's not to be redeemed, so too b'charamim, it's kodesh and it's not to be redeemed. V'lo yigal de kasur rachman olam ali lafnuye. And by virtue of the fact that it says lo yigal, so now that is superfluous and therefore it creates a gzera shava mufne. Ekel Mefrach, the Gemara says, I don't love that limud. So Mala Meiser Shekein Kadosh Lafan of La'acharav. You know, Meiser Behema has a chumrah, has a unique chumrah. Notably, Meiser Behema, not only is the 10th animal Kadosh, but under certain circumstances, animals 9 and 11 are also Kadosh. And later in the Masechta, Daf Samach, I'll explain it better in terms of how it is that 9 and 11 can become Kadosh. For our purposes right now, just accept it. 9-11 can become Kaddosh. It's a special Chumrah that exists in Ma'isa Behema. And now I want to take the halacha of Lo Yigael and apply to other areas of Kachim. You can't do that. So Ela lo yomer lo yigal becharamim. V'yigmar bebechor. So the Gemara says, okay, the lo yigal mentioned by charamim, that's superfluous because I could have learned it from bechor. The Gemara says, really? I could have learned it from bechor? Ma bechor kadosh vein. I'm sorry. First, the Gemara makes the point. Ma bechor kadosh vein nigal af charamim kadosh vein nigalim. So bechor is not redeemable, and neither is charam. And we would have known that already through that limud. And now the Torah is saying, lo yigael by cheirem, that's superfluous. The Gemara says, lo yikal dechas v'rachman alam liyaf nuye. So the Gemara says, I don't love that. Ikal mifrach malo b'chor, shekein kidusha somei rechem. You're going to learn a halacha from b'chor? B'chor also has a unique halacha. The one that we go over time and again in our mesechta. B'chor, do you know how it becomes kadosh? Just simply by being born. Kidusha somei rechem. So this is something that is unique and does not exist by other karbanos. So I can't take a halacha that we know is true by Bechor, notably Lo Yigael, and just simply move it over, slide it over to another halacha. So Ella, Lo Yomar Lo Yigael B'Meiser, so the Gemara now tries again. Let's bounce back to the Lo Yigael of Meiser, and let's say V'Igmar HaVar V'Am in Bechor, and let's learn out a Gzera Shever from Bechor, meaning I know the Torah does not allow for redemption by Bechor. I also know there's a Gzera Shava linking together the Bechor and the Meiser Behema. So now, through that Gzera Shava, I now know that the Meiser Behema animal is non-redeemable. And now the Torah is telling me, Lo Yigael by Meiser Behema? Extra. Ma Bechor Kadosh Veinu Nigal, Meiser Kadosh Veinu Nigal, Lo Yigael Dekadosh Rechman Ben Meiser Lama Li, Laf Nuye. Good. So the Gemara now is going to go in that route. The Gemara says, Va'akati Ben Meiser Nami Lo Mafni, De'ikla Mifrach Kedabarchinan. And the Gemara says, okay, but do you remember the pirchas that we asked just moments earlier? Meaning, I could just simply say, Meiser Behema is unique. Bechor is unique. And I can't learn out the halachas from one to the other. Okay. The Havarta Krayiserhu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the word Havarta is extra. So Bechor Nami. I'm sorry, period. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Havara is extra. And so that means to say that because it's extra, it allows us to learn the halachas of Lo Yigael from Bechor over to Meiser Behema. So now we have established that Lo Yigael is true by Meiser Behema. So what do I do now with the Lo Yigael mentioned by Meiser Behema? It's extra superfluous, creating now the Gzera Shava from Charamim over to Meiser Behema. I told you it's going to get a little tricky in terms of what the Gemara is doing over here in terms of darshaning. But if you're following, there is a flow to this. Bechor Nami Nelev Geula Geula Mecharamim. So the Gemara says, okay, so once we've established that Lo Yigael as it relates to Meiser Behema means both not to redeem and not to sell, because we're learning it from Cherem, because of the Gzeres Shava. So why don't we do the same thing regarding Cherem and Bechor? By Cherem, the Torah says Lo Yigael, and we know that it refers to both not redeeming and not selling, and the same thing is true by Bechor. So why don't we say that by Bechor it means you're not allowed to sell, you're not allowed to redeem, and it also means you're not allowed to sell. Now, as we started off this entire discussion, we know that by Bechor, a coin is allowed to sell. But why don't we do the same thing that we did for Meiser Behema? Why don't we do the same thing for Bechor? The Meiser Mafni, the Bechor Lo Mafni. So the Gemara says, well, the Lo Yigael of Meiser, that's Mufna. It's open and extraneous. The Lo Yigael by Bechor, that's not extraneous. My Chaz is the Lo Tifta de Bechor Legufe, U de Meiser Lafnuye. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we suggest as follows? That the Lo Tifta, which is mentioned by Bechor, that is Legufe. That's teaching us the basic halacha that you know how to redeem it. And that the Lo Yigael of Meiser, that's extra. Ema, the Gemara says, well, why don't we suggest the following? De Meiser Legufe and De Bechor Lafnuye. So why don't we do the following? The Lo Yigael mentioned by Meiser Behema, that's just simply telling us not to redeem it, period. Nothing to do with selling. And why don't we suggest that by the Bechor, when it says Lo Sifte, really what it means is that you're not allowed to redeem it and you're not allowed to sell it. And as far as how we arrive at that, because we're going to make the Gzera Shava from Chavramim. Why don't we go about it in that manner? So the Gemara says, well, if it's a question of which Gzera Shava is better, the Gzera Shava from Cherem to Meiser Behema is better. Why? Same word. The Gemara says, Danim Geula Megula Vein Danim Pidya Megula. Even though Geula and Pidyon are the same meaning, they both mean redemption, but when talking about making a Gzera Shava, by Cherem, the word that's used in the Torah is Geula. By Meiser Behema, the word that's used is Geula, as opposed to Bechor, where the Torah says Lo Sifte. So my Nafkamina, the Gemara says, Gzera Shavas don't have to be the exact same word. Hatan de Bereishma, Veshavakon, Vaakon, Zehushiv, Zuhubiya. You know the Gemara is not going to ask this question, because the Gemara always asks this question. it is probably the most often asked question throughout Shas, and that is by Gzera Shava. We know the words don't have to be exact. A halacha in Saras, without going into the details, teaches us a halacha even though it's not even the same word, but it's the same meaning. And for that, you could use the Gzera Shava. The Gemara says that's true, but Hani Milecha Deleke Dedamile, Aval Ike Dedamile, Me Dedamile Yalfinan. Gemara says that's true, but if I have options, and I have either, I can make a Gzera Shava from Haramim where it says Lo Yigael, and I can either go in the direction of Maisa Behemer where it says Lo Yigael, or I can go in the direction of Bechor where it says Lo Sifta. And even though they mean the same thing, but preferable to choose a word that is the same meaning and the same word. Good. Almost done with our first approach. Velele Bechor Havara Varmi Maiser. Now, why don't I learn out Bechor from Maiser? Daha Maiser Nami. Gamar Geula Geula Micharamim. So, question. Now that I know that by Maiser Behemoth, the Torah says Lo Yigael, and we learn through Gzeira Shava from Charamim, that Lo Yigael means that you're not allowed to redeem it and you're not allowed to sell it, and I also know that I have Gzeira Shava connecting Maiser Behemoth to Bechor, so now why don't we carry over the halacha over to Bechor? And just like by Maiser Behemoth, you're not allowed to redeem it nor you're allowed to sell it, so why don't we say the same thing regarding Bechor, that you're not allowed to redeem and sell it? So Mir Rechmana Gabi Charamim. Who? Who v'lo Bechor? So the Gemara says, yeah, but by Charamim, the Torah uses the word who, which is a limitation. And it means that this halacha that you're not allowed to redeem and you're not allowed to sell is a limited halacha. So ve'ema hu v'lo Meiser. So the Gemara says, well, if it's limiting, so why don't we say that it's Meiser Behema that is excluded from this understanding, that Geula means both you're not allowed to redeem and you're not allowed to sell. So Meiser Geula Kamoso. So the Gemara says, no, we're not going to do that. Because Meiser Behema uses the exact same word of Lo Yigael. So we know that the Charamim is, you're not allowed to sell, and you're not allowed to redeem and you're not allowed to sell. We know that it's limiting, but it's going to limit for those things that are the word, the Torah doesn't use the exact same word for Meiser Behema, since the Torah uses the exact same word. So therefore we're left to assume that by Meiser Behema, you're not allowed to redeem and you're not allowed to sell, just like by Charamim. Okay, and so to recap, in approach number one, Gzeira Shava. The Torah used by the word by Charamim, the Torah introduces us to this idea of Lo Yigael. We know by Charamim it means both, you're not allowed to redeem and you're not allowed to sell. We're going to take our understanding of Lo Yigael by Charamim, and we're going to bring it over to Meiser Behema. Why? Because by Meiser Behema, the Torah also says the words Lo Yigael, and it's Gzeira Shava. And what the Gemara has done since presenting it as Gzeira Shava is just simply established that, number one, it's Mufne, and that was a little bit of effort in terms of establishing that it was Mufna. And the Gemara also entertained the idea of, why don't we zigzag the Gzera Shava in different directions? Why don't we go from Charamim over to Bechor as opposed to Charamim over to Meiser Behema, etc., etc. But to succinctly state it, it's a Gzera Shava. That's approach number one. And that's how we know that Lo Yigael means that you're not allowed to redeem it and you're not allowed to sell it. Approach number two, four lines from the bottom. Rav Amar Lo Yigael de Charamim Lo Tzarech de Isnu Hecha. So the Gemara says, well, let's think about the following. The Lo Yigael of Cherem. Now again, what is Cherem? It's a vehicle to make an animal kadosh. Okay, instead of saying the word kadosh, you say Cherem. Fine. Now, we're talking about Cherem Kohanim. So let's go over what happens exactly with Cherem Kohanim. I say that this now is Cherem Kohen, which means now that it goes to the Kohen in its current state right now where it currently is on my property. So it now is Cherem, meaning as Kedusha. Non-transferable, non-sellable Kedusha. Good. And now I give it over to the Kohen, because it's Cherem Kohanim. What happens when it goes over to the Kohen? It's his. Totally. He can do with it whatever he wants. And so, the Gemara says, Lo Yigael de Cherem Lo Tzarech de Isnu Hecha. Ibei Balim Hekdesh Ninu. If we're talking about where the Cherem is in my property, where I was the one who dedicated this as Cherem, so that means it belongs to Hekdesh. And Ibei Kohen, and if we're talking about after I give it over to the Kohen, Chulin Ninu. Interesting that it becomes now totally chulin because it now belongs to the Kohen. And how do I know this? So the Gemara quotes a brisa. D'tanya charam kozman shein bebeis balim harein kehektish lechol divrei shenemar kol cherem kodesh kadoshim hu l'Hashem. So we're going to see in next week's parsha where the Torah says that when it comes to cherem, so kodesh kadoshim hu l'Hashem. So it is while in your possession, we're talking about cherem kohanim, so it is kodesh kadoshim, meaning it has kedushas aguf. It's like Kedusha Zaguf. nas on the Kohen, but once I then hand it over to the Kohen, harin kachul lechol divrim shenamar, and how do I know that? Because we flip over to the Parshas Korach. And what do we learn in Parshas Korach? Shenamar kochem b'Yisrael lecha yiyeh. That when the Chayim Yisrael gets into your possessions, do you know what it is? It's called lecha, it's called yours. So it belongs to the Kohen. So, here's what I know. I know that when the Chayim is by you, the Yisrael, Kodesh Kadashim, when it's by the Kohen, it's totally his. So, lo yigal dekazer rechman olam alei. Torah says, don't redeem it. So confusing. Don't redeem it. By you, you can't redeem it. It's Kodesh Kadashim. By the Kohen, he could do whatever he wants with it. It's Chulin Gamor. So when the Torah says, Lo Yigal, what must that mean? It must mean one thing. So Lo Yigal, the Kasa Rechman Olam Aleim, Eino Inyan L'Charamim, it has nothing, it can't be applied to Cheirim, because as we just explained, it doesn't apply neither location, neither by the owner nor by the Kohen. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the Lo Yigal and we're going to move it over. And this is Eino Inyan. Eino Inyan L'Charam, Teino Inyan L'Maiser. So they go. So let's apply it over to Meiser. Now, Ema, Teneo Inyan LeBechor. I'm sorry, Teneo Inyan LeMeiser. So we're going to move it over to Meiser. And what does that mean now? We're moving it over to Meiser. By Meiser, you know what the Torah already says by Meiser, Lo Yigael. So what are we going to do now by adding another Lo Yigael over to Meiser? So what we're going to do is that we're going to add that by Meiser Behema, not only you're not allowed to redeem it, but you're not allowed to sell it as well. Okay. That is approach number two. On that, the Gemara just has one question. Ema, Teneo Inyan LeBechor. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we move the halacha over of not selling it? Why don't we move that over to Bechor? So the Gemara's answer, as it answered previously, Maisa Geula Kamoso. No, it makes much more sense to move it over to Maisa Behema. Why? Because the wording is the same. By Charamim, it says Lo Yigael. By Maisa Behema, it says Lo Yigael. By Bechor, it says Lo Sifta. So therefore, it's better to move it over to Maisa Behema. Right? It's Geula Kamoso. Okay, if you want more on the second approach, if you have had enough of the second approach, that's great. We've done. If you want more in the second approach, so see Rashi over here, because Rashi has a number of difficulties with the girsa as we have it. I read the girsa as it's presented in the Gemara. Rashi also had this girsa. Rashi has a number of difficulties with this girsa. Rashi offers a second shot in the second approach. See Rashi for more on this topic. We're going to finish up. We are now up to the third approach. We're on the top of Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis, we are now going over the third approach. And again, we're answering one simple question. The Torah says, Lo Yigael. We know the halach is that you're not allowed to redeem it, you're not allowed to sell it. How do we get from Lo Yigael to both redemption and sale? Rav Ashi Amar Lo Yigael da Meiser Lo Yimacher. So Rav Ashi says that the Lo Yigael of Meiser means that you're not allowed to sell. Am Rav Ashi Mina Aminala Dichsiv. And I'll tell you how I know that, based on the following. And again, we go back to the Pesukim inside, and we're going to see that in the Pasuk, right before the word Lo Yigael, what does the Torah teach us? You're not allowed to exchange. Tamura. Nevayuhu is Murasa Yekodesh. Lo Yigael. So over here, and again, like I described earlier this morning, meaning it's the 10th animal that came out. You wish it wasn't that animal that came out as number 10. You're thinking to yourself, I want to exchange it. The Torah says, don't think that way. Right? And if you try to exchange it, Vayahu is Murasa Yekodesh. Oh, I want to redeem it. Lo Yigael. The Torah says, no, you're not allowed to redeem it. But what Rav Ashi is going to do now is argue that the Lo Yigael in the Pasuk itself means Lo Yimacher. It's not a Gzereshava. It's not an Eino Inyan. It has to be simple pshat in the Pasuk. How does he know? So he argues like this. The Torah says, V'ayahus marasiya kodesh Lo Yigael. Eimasai osa t'mur mechayim. When can you affect t'mur? Meaning you shouldn't. But what can you affect it? You can only affect t'mur while the animal's alive. There's no t'mura after the animal's been shechted. So that means that the Isra of Geula has to be while the animal is alive. So the Gemara says, now after you shecht it, so now you can be Goel, you could redeem it. Now you really think the Torah means redeem? You're not allowed to redeem an animal after it's shechted. We know, we've seen this already before, that in order to redeem an animal, it has to stand on its own. And so over here we're talking about a shechted an animal and now you want to redeem it? It goes against the idea of Hamada Veracha. So it must now mean that Lo Yigael means Lo Yimacher, that you're not allowed to sell it. It's pshat in the pasuk. The Gemara says that's great. It's a great approach. But do you remember by Hamada Veracha we had a major machlokas in terms of when is there a requirement of Hamada Veracha? And there were, everyone ready? Four opinions on this matter of when I require Hamada Veracha. And so good. So the three opinions amongst the Tanaim, and within one of the Tanaim, a machlokas amoraim in terms of what is that middle position. Anyway, so hani chalaman damar kashim isbecha yibachlama devaracha laman damar kashim isbech lo yibachlama devaracha my ikalameimar. Okay, but we could say it simply. If you subscribe to the idea that by kachim isbeach there is no requirement of hamad varacha, so that means that you can redeem it even after it's dead, and so therefore, Rav Ashi, you've lost your pshat in the pasuk. Anan hachi kaminan. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to resurrect. The pshat of Rav Ashi still is tenable, because mi ikad mechaim lo mifrek, olach reshchita mifrek. So the Gemara says, because consider, the animal while it's alive, it's not redeemable, and after you shech, then now it is redeemable? That's really difficult to argue. So Alam Allah, the Gemara says, it's difficult to argue, but I'm going to try to argue it anyway. And I'll say like this. Mechaim da alim kedusha say lo mifrek. Lach reshchita da akil le kedusha say mifrek. So the Gemara says, well, can we make the following argument? And can we say that while the animal is alive, so the kedusha is so strong that you can't redeem it? Ah, but after it's dead, where the kedusha now has lessened a little bit, so now it's redeemable. So the Gemara says, I don't love that argument. In fact, I reject the argument. V'lo kol dekein hu. So the Gemara says, Uma mechayim da'alim lemitfes pidjono. You know, when you can redeem, when is redemption possible? When can I transfer kedusha from one item to another? When the kedusha in A is strong. So that means to say that now I can remove the kedusha and transfer it over to another item. Now again, as we all know, Even by numerous items in halacha and in Erev Kachim, the kedusha is so strong, it's just simply not transferable, right? By kedusha zaguf, it's just not transferable. But the idea behind pidyon is the following: that I need something to be strong enough where it can actually survive the transfer from A to B. So umam mechaim de alim lemitfes pidyon lo mefrek. So when the animal's alive and its kedusha was stronger, and at least it potentially could be redeemed, and the Torah says no, la'achreshchita de lo alam lemitfes pidyono mifrak, and now after it's dead, and now the kedusha has dropped off, and it can't even transfer the kedusha from A to B, from the item to something else, so for sure you would not be able to redeem it. So shema mina lo yigal lo yimacher. So now that we rejected that lo yigal means redemption, it can't mean redemption, so we're left to now saying that lo yigal means lo yimacher, that you're not allowed to sell it. So now, why don't we save ourselves a daf of Gemara? Meaning, we could have just not done Lamed Beis in Becharos if the Torah would have just simply said Lo Yimacher. Okay, good. So Ikas Rechman Lo Yimacher Hava Mina Is Davnunu Hudlam Is Davin. If the Torah would have said Lo Yimacher, here's what we would have said. Okay, don't sell it. The Ka'avit Uvdin Dechol Aval Ifriku Mifrik. So the Aile Damav Lehektesh? Okay, so fine, so don't sell it. But I would have said the following, but you can redeem it, because consider what happens when we redeem it. What happens to that redemption money? It goes to the base of Mikdash. Good. So Lahachi Kasurachman Lo Yigael, the Lo is Davunim is Davin, Velo Ifruke Mifrak. The Torah says Lo Yigael to make sure that we know that not only you're not allowed to sell it, but you're not allowed to redeem it as well. If the Torah would have said Lo Yimacher, so from that we would have said you're not allowed to sell, but you are allowed to redeem it. Lo Yigael clearly dictates that you're not allowed to sell it, nor are you allowed to redeem it. I'll ask the question, although I don't have an answer. So why doesn't the Torah say Lo Yigael v'lo yimacher? Meaning, and just add two more words to make that point clearly. So clearly, I mean, the Gemara doesn't ask the question. I don't have an answer. Okay, fine. Yeah. Phil suggested it could be based on deduction, which is possible. But okay, the Gemara, and we did it. Okay, Adka.